Good morning, good morning, good morning. As you come in, do grab a seat. Obviously, we're going to try and behave ourselves, and I have severely warned Susie that she is not allowed to hug anyone. So if you see her hugging anyone, just tell me, I'll sort her out. But good morning, it's good to be with you this morning. We're still not allowed to, unfortunately, sing at the moment, but what we can do is prepare our hearts to worship the King. As Roger plays some songs in the background for us.
I've never been in the background.
Roger's never been in the background, and we know that. So we're going to have a couple of songs played by Roger for us as we begin. It's just you this time, just to get yourself ready to worship God, just to worship Jesus. And we'll never start on that.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King of all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King of all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life, that I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me, all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of all kings. Who rules the nations with truth and justice? Shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King of all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life, that I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the King that conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King that conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King that conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life, that I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me, all that you've done for me. All that you've done for me.
Apparently, I can't cope with glasses and a mask and a microphone. There's no comments about men multitasking.
Okay.
I was just wondering as we were not singing. wondering how you've been over the last year. I'm just wondering, honestly, have you felt okay? Have you felt that God has abandoned you? I'll talk a bit more about this later on as well. have you been about not seeing your family, perhaps, if that's a thing for you? I know some of us have been through some real tough times. And I think it's good also to be honest about it. And part of preparing our heart is to be honest with God as we worship Him. And so, actually, I'm going to ask you just to play one more song if you're able to. Take your mask off. Just to allow you to be real with God for a moment. Now, you might be perfectly upbeat and okay, and that's good, just be real with Him about that. But actually, if you're sad about what's going on last year, if you're angry with God, I'd encourage you just to bring that to Him in this time. So that we can receive the peace that He promises, the life to the full. And in your own internal confession of how you really are, you can receive any forgiveness that you might need. So let's do that.
There's no greater sacrifice than laying down a blameless life. You became sin for me, my Savior and my friend. An angry cross, a crimson tide, the Son of God then crucified. You became sin for me, my Savior and my friend. You are holy, King of glory. Gave your life for me, my Savior and my friend. You chose to bear my guilt, my shame, my darkest thoughts, my spirit of pain. You became sin for me, my Savior and my friend. There's nothing that I could give but live to die and die to live. You became endless grace that loves me till the end. You are holy, King of glory. Gave your life for me, my Savior and my friend. You are my Savior and my friend.
Father, we thank you that we can come to you as we are. We can receive your love, your peace, your forgiveness, just exactly where we are. Whether we are on the mountaintop or deep into the valley, you are it. Amen. Well, it's great to be with you this morning. So what have we got here? Just got a few notices this morning. The first notice is there is no notice sheet. That is largely because, although the rector did produce a notice sheet, he didn't print them out. The second piece of news is we now have a new administrator.
These two things are unconnected.
These two things may be somewhat connected, yes. So the good news is, a week on Tuesday, a lady called Deborah or Deb Beers will become our new administrator. Some of you may know her because she's the lay chair for our deanery. And I have to say, I'm really excited about her coming. I can't. There is no one in the parish more excited than me, I tell you. So we're really pleased about that. Now, Deb's going to take a little while to settle in. Well, that's what I wouldn't normally say. I'm not so sure with Deb. She is full of energy. So, but she'll take a little while to settle in. I'm sure we'll get used to it. But as soon as we can, we'll have her along to the services to commission her and send her into her new role with us. But if you bump into her on route, do obviously make her feel welcome. I'm sure you will, you know me. But be praying for her as well as she starts exploring this new role. So she's going to be here this week for a look around with me and a chat with me on Tuesday, and then she's going to start the following Tuesday. Susie's also very excited that I might be a little less grumpy. So. And also, just to say, we could do with some help with the flowers. So if you feel that you can arrange some flowers or help with that, then if you see Tracy, Tracy's organising the rota here for that, and that's one rota that I won't do. So, but I'm sure there are plenty of people that can do with some help, do some help with that. That'd be great if you're able to do that. Part of our worship of God. Let's just gather together for a moment. I can get this working properly. Our welcome this morning, our gathering this morning. If you join in with the words in yellow, I'll say the words in white. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Peace to this house. Lord of the harvest, we welcome you. Those were words stolen from our reading this morning. But my first, you saw this question up on the screen as you were coming in. Where would you like to journey to? What trip would you like to take? Now, we're going to be somewhat restricted this year for our trips abroad and whatever have you, but do not be restricted by the reality of the situation. Given the choice, where would you like to journey to? Any ideas, anyone?
A white sandy beach.
A white sandy beach I've got over here. Anyone else?
The Holy Land.
The Holy Land. Ah, yes. I love it for us to take a trip to the Holy Land. If only we had an expert in the Holy Land in our congregation. Oh, Peter, good to see you. Yes, Susie.
Well proved.
Well proved. I'm going for a week on a boat, but shit, bro. We've stopped, okay. But I'll be allowed to do what we did last time and do the silly stuff. Anyone, what about the young people? Give us an idea. Where would you like to have a trip to now?
See my family.
And see your family. You like to see your family. Right? Anyone else? Any other trip?
Spain.
Spain. What about Spain, Joe? You know some Spanish word, isn't it?
Yeah.
I want to repeat that. Anyone else? Anyone else like to have a trip? A journey?
Los Angeles.
Oh, what do you want to go to Los Angeles, Susie?
Yeah.
To see my son. Oh, son, yeah. I've never been to Australia. I'd like to go to Australia. I did a trip. Had you got the notice sheet, you would have seen I said I did a trip a couple of years back to the Camino, which is a journey from, well, from many places, but the one that we did was from France into Spain. That's great. That for 15 days. So a bit, a large part. We weren't able to do all the Camino in 15 days, but we did a large part. So that was, I think it's fair to say, life-changing for me. But I'd like to do more of that sort of pilgrimage. Well, we're going to be talking about journeying this week, and what we might do as we journey forward from where we are now. Because although it's an overused phrase for the Christian walk, even the word walk can use journey, doesn't it? But for the Christian life, I think there's a good reason why we tend to call journey, part of our faith. So we'll look into that. And actually, we're going to dive straight in now to our readings. So Susie's going to come up and do our first reading for us, and then Tracy is going to do our second. Tricks of the trade, there's a difficult word to agree.
I have to say, I did not go on the Camino with him, so. But that was good. So the reading is taken from Exodus 14, verses 5 to 14, and verses 26 to 31. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, "What have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services." So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots, along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers all over them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites, who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all of Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi Ahiroth, opposite Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. Then Moses said, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out in the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert'?" Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and their horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak, the sea went back into its place. The Egyptians were fleeing towards it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and the horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. None of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day, the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the great power of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 1 to 12. Jesus sends out the 72. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you. The worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God is near you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet will wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than that for that town. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Gracie and Susie. And my apologies for not getting all the words of the first reading on the screen. I'll take a moment to just to come before God as I share some thoughts that have come out of my prayers and my time with God recently. Father, we thank you that through your Spirit you do speak to us, that you speak to every one of us, whether we are tiny or whether we are. We pray now as we reflect on journeying forward from this position where we are in our country, that your Spirit will guide us, that you will nudge us, that our hearts and minds will be open to him. Take the words that I have prepared and use them for your glory, I pray. The first words as I opened up my word processor to prepare today were, I wrote down the first words without even taking too much time to consider them were, where the heck has God been in the last year? Let's be honest, it's been a pretty rubbish year, isn't it? And I don't know about you, but for me, in the last year, there have been times, if I'm honest, I wondered where God is. Where are you, God? Been times where actually reading my Bible and praying have been the last things in the world I want to do. Don't panic about your rector, and it may sound a bit shocking to hear that from your priest, but I just wanted to be real with you. I always want to be real with you, because I suspect I'm not alone. I've shared recently with a number of people, actually, with friends, that those of us who perhaps generally have a half-glass full attitude to life, maybe a bit tigger-like occasionally, like myself, have found the slow creep of darkness over the last year take us by surprise. Perhaps if you've suffered from depression in the past, or you've been aware of that part of your mental state, then you have seen the signs of being able to prepare for them. But for some of us, the encroachment of what is sometimes called the bad dog has taken us by surprise, and we found it difficult to cope with it. I don't know where God was in all that, but I do know he never abandoned us. And even when we've been surprised by how much COVID has impacted our mental health, he is with us. How about you? I hadn't planned it, but we did take some time earlier on to consider that ourselves, didn't we? How about you? Where have you been in the last year? Maybe you have been desperately sad as you've seen people in your family who have been ill or even died. Or have you seen those that you know in the society suffer? Maybe you've been angry at God as you've seen the different impacts that COVID has had on different people. This phrase that we're all in this together is true on the one hand, but also completely a lie on the other. The impact of COVID has massively impacted different people in different ways, and certainly those who are on the lower end of the spectrum of income have been impacted more greatly. I'm sure someone on the top of a flat in Portsmouth with three children and a partner has been impacted more than Susie and myself in our lovely rectory that we are blessed with. Where has God been in all that? And should we be surprised that we sometimes worry about that? Well, I don't think we should be surprised, then. There are many reasons that those of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus describe this as a journey, this relationship with him. Because we have always journeyed with God. The people of God have always journeyed with him. That reading that Susie read from Exodus is perhaps the most obvious journey that we see in the Bible. But nevertheless, we see it throughout. Exodus from our Old Testament, in itself, the name just brings the image of a journey to us, doesn't it? But let's look at that journey. If we think we've had it bad in the last year, then they have been in slavery for hundreds of years. Could there be a worse place to be, I wonder? And then God sends them a saviour, a man so important that Jesus himself is compared to Moses. Here comes Moses. Hurrah! Now they are on their journey. Things are going to change. They're going to get better. And then, of course, the pyramids are barely out of sight when they hit their first obstacle. This wall of water as they are being chased down by the Egyptian armies. So what is the response of the Israelites? We will trust in our God. He has set us free. He won't abandon us. Of course, that's not their response, is it? They turn on their leader and they say, was this because there were no graves in Egypt? He brought us out to die in the desert. You see, it doesn't matter whether it's 2021 AD or 1250 BC. There are always people who are fearful of the journey and grumble. Always people amongst us that will be worried about what the future holds, whose faith will be tested, and who find that they will doubt God on that journey. I wonder why Jesus needed to give the disciples that he sends out a pep talk. These disciples are not the apostles, they're not the 12. These are everyday people like you and I. They've been coming along to see this rabbi Jesus on a Sunday morning to church. Well, maybe not on a Sunday morning, but they've been coming along to see this rabbi Jesus and learn from him. They've seen his journey, and they've seen how hard his journey has been already, and they've no idea what's going to come in the future. So they've been turning up occasionally, and at times Jesus has said things to them like, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. They've been hearing all this about the journey of someone who is faithful to God, and then suddenly this rabbi Jesus turns to them and says, by the way, you can do this. I'm sending you out on a journey as well. I'm sure, just like Moses, Jesus had to give a pep talk because there were people who were grumbling about the journey and the change ahead of them. And it's not rocket science. We're talking about this today because, of course, we here in Bethlehem have a journey. We've talked a lot about journey in the last 3 years that I've been here. 3 years today. And, of course, we'll talk a lot more about the journey in the future. We'll also know that we've hit bumps in the road on the way, and we will hit more obstacles on the way. This ginormous obstacle of COVID, I'm sure, is not done with us yet. There will be repercussions of this moving forward. I mean, we already know that as a church here in Portsmouth, we're having to reimagine what the future is for the church in Portsmouth. We know some of that already. We know that as a parish here in Bethlehem, we are going to be asked to work more closely with Lee Park and Warren Park and Jonathan over there, which is brilliant news, because that's exactly what we were going to do anyway. So God has been preparing us for that journey. As we reach out to that part of our parish and beyond with Lee Park, to reach the people that we have not been very good at reaching over the last few years. We know that as a deanery and as a church, we're going to be asked to look at focusing more on church in the small, home groups, life groups, call them what you will, as we come together in church in the small and then celebrate in church in the big, which for me is just an answer to prayer, because I so much believe that people who are disciples of Jesus move on in those small groups. those small churches. We know all that. We know that's ahead of us on the journey, but we don't know what else we might be asked to do. We don't know what else God has in plan for us, or we don't know what else the new vision that we receive will ask us to do as we seek to change the way that church is for the future. And for many, of course, the fear of that unknown journey is just too much for them. Perhaps most people are fearful of uncertainty in the future, worry about what is around the corner. Why can't we just have it the way that we've always had it? And then for a few weirdos like myself, we enjoy change. We love the idea of excitement of a journey and we look forward to that. So there's this real mix with us. And whichever camp you fall in, whether you are fearful of the future and change, or whether you love change and look forward to the future, whichever camp you walk in, I have some slightly bad news for you. I am not Jesus, and I am not Moses. And so I can't give you a pep talk and make you believe that the future is going to be great. All I can do is walk with you and trust in God and explore these scriptures that we trust so much, that were inspired by God, a revelation about what the future might hold. And so I want to encourage you to act in the future, to accept that we are called upon this journey, to understand that God collaborates with us and for us to trust in Him. Whether you feel you have the gifts or not, whether you happen to be on a table in the back of our hall if you're younger, or whether you are older and think you've been used enough already, I want to say to you that no one is excluded from this journey that God sends us on. And so we need to accept that we are on a journey. As I've already said, this one is difficult for some people. They don't want change. The Israelites hit that first hurdle, didn't they? They said, oh, let's just go back to the way we were. Let's go back to Egypt. Could that possibly have been God's will that they would go back to slavery? I can't believe it was. Things will change. I have a friend of mine that says everything changes. If it doesn't move, it's dead. I can't believe that God's church in Bethlehem is dead. We also need to change to grow as well, don't we? We also need to change. And it doesn't, none of this truth makes this any easier for some people. But we also need to change to see God's kingdom come and to see growth. Can you imagine if you were one of those 72, or even one of the apostles, can you imagine when Jesus said to them, I've got to go now so the church can grow? Can you imagine that they would have believed that? That they would have believed that Jesus had to hang on the cross so that his church could grow? But very truly I tell you, he said, for your good I am going away. Unless I go, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. However hard it is for us, we need to accept that we are on a journey of change. And if we want to see God's kingdom come, some change will be forced upon us, and we will need to adapt to it. Some change we will have influence upon, but God will be with it in all of us if we accept that there must be change. And the good news is that God always collaborates with us. He always uses his people. If you read your scriptures, if you're reading through bite-sized Bible with some of us, you will see that God constantly uses his people. And if you know the story of Moses and the burning bush, you'll know that Moses was a somewhat reluctant collaborator with God. Go back and read that if you haven't. He did not want to do this with God. He didn't have the skills anymore. But as soon as he accepted that he must collaborate with God, he grew the skills to lead God's people along the way. has always used his people. Jesus said, go, I am sending you out. He didn't say, go, I'm coming with you en route. He said, go, I am sending you out. We need to accept that God will use us. So we need to accept we're on a journey and that God will use us. But of course, ultimately, we just simply need to trust God. Moses said to God's people, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. And what happened when God's people trusted God? The seas were parted as God used Moses in collaboration, and they were set free. Now we know that there was a continuous journey after that. That wasn't like all the troubles were behind them at that point. But when they trust in God, and actually the story of the Israelites is when they trust in God, they do well. When they don't trust in God, it all goes pear-shaped. And Jesus reminds us as well as we journey that we're not to measure the journey, the success of the journey, in the ups and downs of the journey. Again, we heard in our gospel, didn't we? When you enter a town and are not welcome, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town we will wake from our feet. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come. Just because there are troubles ahead, doesn't mean we shouldn't still trust God. Just because people may disagree with the journey, where the journey is going, doesn't mean we still shouldn't trust in God. God is always with us. Surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. To move on from here, we need to accept that there's going to be a journey whether we like it or not. We need to collaborate with God and understand that we all have a part to play. Every one of you, every one of us. And then we need to simply trust in God. We need to act. Now, if I was a manipulative pastor, I might take some time now to tell you to think about this and then come up here and make a commitment here and now. But I hope I'm not that. But what I am going to ask you to do this week is to give me 15 minutes of your time. And I want you to grab your favourite drink, find your favourite location, whether that's in the garden, or in your favourite chair in the house, or walking the dog, or whatever it is. And just sit and decide if you want to be part of this journey with the children here. Whether you are willing to act. And then just, if that is true for you, I want you just to spend 15 minutes being quiet with God's Spirit. Ask Him what your part is in that collaboration. Ask Him what He's asking you to do. And your mind will wander. Well, mine does. Maybe you're holier than I am. But your mind will wander. And that's fine. Just bring it back in. That's why we're going to give it 15 minutes and not just a couple of minutes. And then I'm not even going to ask you, if you hear from God, to come and let me know what that is. If you want to, I'm here, you know that. I'm more than happy to have a dog walk with you, a cup of tea in the garden, and talk about what God has said to you and how we might help with that. But this is about you and God. About you saying, okay, COVID, we're putting a stake in the ground and we're moving on from here. And will you do that for me this week? Let me pray for us as we commit to that time with God this week. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you've been speaking to us, not just this morning, but throughout this whole time. And as we confess this morning, before we even started, our doubts, just like the Israelites, we receive your forgiveness. And we pray that as we set that time aside this week, in the way that enables us to commune with you, that you will speak with us, that you will give us courage to act. Oh Lord, would you just pour your spirit out on your people here now and this week, that we would be unified under the banner of Jesus. That your spirit will guide us. Amen. We're just going to again have some quiet music at the moment. Roger's going to allow us to commune with God and to reflect upon God.
Faith can move the mountains, make the mountains move. We come with expectation, we are waiting here for you. Waiting here for you. You're the Lord of all creation. Still you know my heart, the author of salvation. You loved me from the start. Waiting here for you. With our hands lifted high in praise, as you singing hallelujah. You are everything you promised. Your faithfulness is true. And we're desperate for your presence. All we need is you. Waiting here for you. With our hands lifted high in praise. And it's you. Singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Waiting here for you, with our hands lifting high in praise, as you we adore, singing
waiting alone. But as the advocate, you come and guide us. May our response be worship acceptable in your sight. Amen. In a moment, I'm going to ask Emily to come and lead us in prayer. But if you weren't here last week, you may have missed a really joyful piece of news. Polly, who's at the back, and hiding with our mask again, if I say this, has been accepted for training in the Church of England, so she starts her training in September. We're really pleased that that journey has come to that point, and we look forward to seeing her journey over the next few years. She's going to still be here, do not panic. But what I would ask for you to do is to get behind Polly and Mike and family in prayer. Our experience is that when you sometimes you step out, as I said, the journey is not every easy. We would never promise an easy journey, but we just promised a good ending. And so our experience is that we need to get behind Polly and Mike in prayer. So I call on you to do that with me. Somebody else is also exploring that journey. Come on, Emily. Emily brought Lucas along with her today, and Mum. It's good to have you with us this morning. And again, if you don't know Emily, Emily is currently with us on placement, and she does the same discernment process that Polly.
I was out for a walk with Lucas a few days ago. He was throwing stones into the river and watching the ripples the stones caused. And the ripples reminded me of our prayers. They reminded me that God is always at work, constantly moving, working, arranging and orchestrating events in our lives. So I thought this morning we could just do a short meditation for our prayers. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and imagine, if you will, that you are sitting on the bank of a river. You can feel the warm breeze on the back of your neck. You can hear the rustling of unseen animals in the undergrowth. You can smell the intoxicating aroma of the forest around you. Feel God's peace with you as your senses soak up his wonderful creation. You now pick up a stone and throw it into the water. You watch as it splashes and ripples start to form. As you watch the first ripple erupt, pray for yourself, your own personal walk with Jesus, your passion for the Lord. Pray for the barriers between you and God and your desire for his presence and power in your life. Then you notice the next ripple start to take form. This time it reaches a bit further and rocks a leaf that is laying gently on the water's surface. As you watch this second ripple, pray for those who are close to you, those who bring you joy. They may be your family, your friends, your work colleagues, your church friends, your neighbours. Imagine that ripple surrounding those people in a circle of God's love. As you watch, the third ripple begins again, stretching out further. You watch as the sun shines down on the water, casting rainbow colours into the river. This time, pray for your city or town. Pray for our leaders, our church leaders, our teachers and doctors, our first responders. Pray for God's wisdom to guide our government and their advisors. A fourth ripple now takes shape, and you can see the reflections of the trees over you reflected in the water. Watch the reflection of the birds flying above
and the squirrels jumping from branch to branch. As you watch, pray for those who are sick and poor and most in need. Pray for God's healing and blessing. Bring to mind those who are dying or those who have moved on from this world. Pray for their families. Again, you might like to imagine the ripple surrounding them in God's circle of love. And finally, the last ripple explodes and reaches the bank of the river and washes against the flowers nestled in the grass. For this last ripple, pray for the world. Pray for those countries battling war or famine. Pray for the missionaries and the life of the body of Christ worldwide. Father, we lift these prayers to you, and we thank you that you are ever moving and working in our lives. Circle us in your love, and never let us slip out of the enchantment of your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Emily. Well, just to say, we want to love our children here, and the fact that Lucas was there crying for his mummy during the time that she was serving us and praying for us, we as a family, well, I know you do, but we need to accept that. And I couldn't help but feel, actually, as Lucas was crying for his mummy, as the reflection of the trust he has in her, isn't it? And I was sat there praying, and thinking, this is such an image of God's love for us, and I need to trust it. He's got Nana down there. I'm sure he loves her a bit, you know? But actually, the one he places his trust in is Emily. And I just felt, I don't know, just as we were praying, but just such an image of we ask Megan to place our trust in God. So thank you, Emily, for that. Right, let's move on before I burst into tears. Guys, have a fantastic week. And as we go, we're going to say the grace together, and then Roger's going to play a few more songs, which you can sit and listen to before, if you wish to, before we leave. And as we leave, we're going to need to leave through the back door. And there is some fluid down there to wash your hands on the way up. So let's say the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
Great are you, Lord, mighty in strength. You are faithful. And you will ever be. We will praise you all of our days. For your glory, we offer everything. Raise your hands, all you nations. Hail to God, all creation. How awesome is the Lord Most High. We will praise together, for now and forever, how awesome is the Lord Most High. Where you send us, God, we will go. You're the answer we want the world to know. We will trust you when you call our name. Where you lead us, we'll follow all the way. Raise your hands, all you nations, shout to God, all creation. How awesome is the Lord, the Most High. We will praise you together, for now and forever. How awesome is the Lord, the Most High. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How awesome is the Lord, the Most High. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How awesome is the Lord, the Most High. Raise your hands, all your nations, bow to God, all creation. How awesome is the Lord Most High. We will praise you together, for now and forever. How awesome is the Lord Most High.